There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
And give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that does stuff with things and words that come out of my mouth and Lee's mouth. Lee, how you doing?
Great. I'm wondering how long you can hold that and.
Oh, well, we can try that on the next one.
Okay. I'm just wondering because I'm just curious about your lung capacity.
I don't think it's going to be very, very
yeah,
long.
Yeah, you're old. I mean, you've never smoked.
I've never smoked, but I am old.
You are old.
My daughter's planning her birthday party, and she's got a whole murder mystery with all the fairy tale characters and whatnot. But so she has up a thing to basically take a picture of everyone with their mugshot, and it has the height, has a little height chart, right? Mm-hmm. And so I stood up against it, and I was I would figure out they did this at the right height. And my son goes, "Oh, you're a little under 6 foot." I'm like, "Huh?
You're shrinking.
Wait, that's not possible." So then I went back and I got on it actually flat and turned out that I was right. So I was panicking because, yeah, I thought I was shrinking. And I'm getting old and I'm forgetting things. Oh, that's right. We're doing a podcast. I forgot about that.
We're doing a podcast. We're not just talking about you being old. So, yes, we are doing a podcast. And I had looked at Dragon Con earlier and didn't see anything up, but I'm pulling it up right now again.
Jerry Ryan's coming back. I saw that.
To see if there were any new guests listed. Did you see anybody?
Jerry Ryan.
No, really?
Yeah.
Or is that your fevered imagination?
No. I'm right, right? I think so.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure. I don't trust you.
I'm pretty sure it was like on the Facebook, or maybe it was on the Google Plus. Maybe that's why nobody saw it, because it was on Google Plus.
Well, see, possibly, because, you know, the thing is, things happen right now, and people get guests added all the time. And it's really kind of funny. So, but, you know, the best place to go and look for that is because sometimes the actors or actresses will say they're coming before it's been officially announced. And our next guest has had a little bit of a problem with that because she had that yesterday. And that would be Mary with Weedenverse. Hey, Mary.
Hey, Lee.
And I don't see Jerry Ryan listed. I see Adam Brown, Emma
Caulfield. Okay, hold on.
No, it's on the Facebook. They announced it on Facebook,
but they didn't put it on the guest site. Okay.
Yeah.
So
well, no, usually that because takes a couple of days because they're updating the website.
Oh, okay. Well, but Emma Caulfield put it quickly on her Twitter yesterday that she had accepted, and you were like, please hurry up and put this somewhere so I can announce it.
Right. So I ended up, you know, emailing Rachel on the sly because I'm like, oh, God, please don't let her have announced that she's coming and not be an official guest, because I don't want people to get super excited and then not have her be able to go or they haven't signed contracts or whatever, because the way that Dragon Con does it is like they don't announce until the contracts are signed between both groups. And so
So
I was just like, please, please, for the love of all that is holy,
please. I don't need any more crap. Now, is this the first time she's ever come to Dragon Con?
As far as I know, yes. I don't ever remember her having come before. So I think this is her first Dragon.
That's cool. Yay!
Yeah.
Yay! Awesome. So yay. Very, very cool. And so welcome to Weedenverse. So what's going on in Weedenverse this year, Miss Mary?
We have a new show this year, and I'm so excited.
Why don't you just pour some salt and vinegar
on your open wound
and a little bit of alcohol in that wound, honey? And
yeah, no. Well, and part of it was just like seeing the Gur-Arg on TV again for the first time was so freaking exciting. Just to know that like he was back on TV again and got to see a show that Joss was involved with, and it's pretty funny. So a publishing house is putting out a Joss Whedon biography, and and so I started reading it this week, and you know, just talking about his whole family and how his whole family is basically involved in the writing world, and like including his father and grandfather, and so it's just fascinating to me, just like that can be a person's life, you know, like that you can be raised by that and have your parents work on the electric company and Captain Kangaroo, and then have like the generation before that be working on like the Donna Reed show or something. I forget what his grandfather worked on, but yeah, it was just wild.
I loved Captain Kangaroo. I loved Rabbit and Moose.
Apparently he was a jerk, but yeah, that happened.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
I don't know.
That's really
like
sad.
Well, so they left, his dad left the show, and one of the reasons they did Electric Company is they wanted programming where they had more input and like as writers. And so he, you know, I don't know if he was jerky or just a control freak, which, you know, the two terms are not mutually exclusive. Like he could be, you know, a swell dude, but just as, you know, locked down on content. So who knows?
All right. So you have a new show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I do.
Yes, you do. And Lucy Lawless just got announced this week. We don't know exactly what. We're waiting on Comic-Con to hear that. But she's going to be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Nobody knows how long or how much or what she's going to do. Yeah. Many, many theories out there.
Oh, for a minute there, I thought you were saying that Lucy Lawless announced that she was coming here. I'm like, again? Okay.
No, that was last year.
Yeah. I thought this place was a death trap for her. So, go on.
So, and what else? And so you got that. You've had a new Captain America movie.
Oh my God, Chris Evans.
Oh my God. He is adorable. He is, you know, but he's really, really pretty, but he's also just kind of dorky, adorable. And I always just want to see him and like give him cookies. He's one of those I just want to go, you need cookies. Let's give you cookies.
What does cookies mean to you, Lee? I'm just curious.
Cookies means actual cookies. That is not a euphemism for anything.
Just wanted to make sure
it isn't.
No, he's too young. I, you know which spectrum I go towards. So, yes.
Well, I loved Captain America. Captain America 2 was so freaking great. I love having Marvel as part of my fandom. It's pretty awesome. I mean, I'm much more of a Marvel girl than a DC girl, and so it's really exciting to be able to talk about that and have that as part of like our spectrum of things that we can cover over the weekend. And like, we're obviously not going to cover it in the same kind of way as the comics track would, because we have our media-based focused for the most part. But my staff, it's pretty funny. Two of the people on my staff specifically, or one owns a comic book store. The other two are just like crazy, crazy comics fans. And so it's pretty funny to, you know, finally have our own, like beyond the, you know, the extensions of Buffy seasons and Angel seasons and Firefly season, but, you know, like, and then also, now I'm blanking, that Frey. So, but yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting to like have to look back at the old comics and be like, okay, so if are they going to bring in this storyline or are they going to take in this character and da da da, because it's got such a lush universe to draw from. So
well, see, and that's actually the one thing too, because I was not a comics kid. My little tiny hometown did not have a comic book shop. I know.
Mm-hmm. Where'd she go? Hello, Lee. She disappeared. Well, while Lee is quiet for a moment, let me ask you a question because it popped into my head. What if Disney decides to ask Jaws to write a Star Wars film? What kind of war would be started then between you and the Star Wars folks?
I think that no matter what, we would lose. because the Star Wars track, you know, like is such a long-standing tradition and such a specific subject focus. that, you know, we wouldn't even try for that. We might have like a co-panel together where we talk, you know, like where we share, you know, panel time together. Like this year, I'm doing a panel with Young Adult Lit where we're talking about the hero's journey of Buffy and Harry Potter and how they're similar. And so it's one of those where it's like, okay, you know, like we have the ability to share a subject with our fellow tracks. It's just, you've got to take into account that you're stepping on somebody's toes if you don't consult with them. So,
right. So as far as other tracks that you have going this year and any, parties you have going, what do you got this year?
Well, we are excited to bring back our Avengers Ball. It went really, really well last year, which was really exciting. We've got our costumed dancers coming back again this year for the ball, which is really exciting. And they've got a whole new routine for us, which is hilarious to me. Just people who do stuff for us because I ask. It's really neat.
I'm back. Sorry about that.
Oh, welcome back, Lee. Okay, so seriously, the panel I am the most excited about for this year is the science of the Avengers and S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I have on the panel a hand-to-hand combat specialist, a pilot, and then two, like, science, like, I forget their focuses right now because I'm just blanking and I've had been at work since 8:30 this morning and I just finished before I picked up the call. So, but like basically like physicists. So talking about like what in the Marvel universe and like Joss's shield, could happen and is happening now. And so, and also just the things, okay. So, you know, the different combat styles that like May has versus Ward. And so, you know, how they fight and how you would do things differently because, you know, that is part of science. Like what is real and what is fake and how people move. And then also flying, just because I happen to know a person who's a Marine pilot. And so, and she's also an author, but anyway,
very cool.
But yeah, so I'm really excited about it because I'm such a nerd. I'm just completely fascinated by it. So I'm really excited to hear what they have to say. But yeah, so that, and for the first time, we also have, Todd McIntyre or McIntosh. Seriously, like Mary, where's your brain?
It's okay. Breathe.
I believe you're probably busy this part
Chris
of the year.
Evans thoughts, yeah. Still.
Yeah, it might be. No, it's McIntosh. So, so he was the makeup artist for Buffy seasons 1 through 6, like head makeup artist. And it's the first time, as far as I know, that we've ever gotten any of the makeup artists from Buffy, or any of the shows for the track. And so I'm super excited just to, like, he's going to bring behind the scenes photos from his personal collection and, you know, so that we can talk about that and like, he's going to talk techniques and that kind of stuff, which is super exciting. And he's just a really swell, like chill dude. And just, it was, yeah, I'm really excited to meet him in person because we've had a couple of phone conversations and he's just really, really splendid to talk to. So,
yay. And so, okay. So you're asking about that. What fan favorite did you bring back? Something that the fan said, you must continue to do this panel or else we will run you out of town. And for me, that one is the Lost panel I have to do every year.
Okay, so our programming is sort of limited this year as far as like discussion panels because we have two showings of Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog this year and we have the Avengers. You know, so Friday night is Dr. Horrible. Saturday night is the Avengers Ball. Sunday night, we're throwing a Caritas karaoke where you can come and have your future read by our very own Lorne and come do karaoke in our track room.
Okay.
And so we have an event every single night, which takes up panel time. And then, don't get me wrong, I'm super excited about all of those things, but it takes away the slots that you have to be able to talk about things. But the thing that people asked for back when I had taken it off the schedule was the NC-17 fanfic. Because I'm the one who runs it usually.
Yes, and, you are.
And with being the director, I just don't have the energy. And I usually have to be up in the morning to run the guest panel the next morning. And so it usually runs until about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like 35 now.
We're all getting old. We're all old, and we do need at least a little bit of sleep. We get it. We get it.
Well, and so a lovely woman came up to me at Dragon Con, a volunteer meeting, and and asked if she could help, like, be on the panel. And then by the end of it, she was like, going to run it.
Yay! Oh, that's best. That's the bestest.
Yeah, so she's got, you know, like, the whole thing, like, mapped out. She's got, like, a PowerPoint for it to talk about different things and talk about tropes and talk about whatever. And then she's also got door prizes to give away, and she's going to give away, like, fanzines for – which, I mean, when's the last time that you saw, like a printed fanzine running around?
If you go to small cons, they sometimes have that room, but that's – yeah, yeah. No.
And so I'm so excited.
Yeah, but no one really wants to go into that room, though.
Yeah, but it was so, I'm so excited for her because, like, it was very nice because it felt like, me 10 years ago, like, she has the energy that I had when I first started coming to Dragon Con. And so, like, I don't have the energy to do all the things that I had, like, that I'd been doing before, because I've got all this stuff that I have to do. And so to give this to somebody who's super excited about it and have her just take it and run with it was, like, awesome.
Well, there is, I mean, and you do make a trade-off because you've always been very active in panels and other things. And then you're like, okay, well, if I'm going to be a track director, uh-oh. You yep. make that trade-off, and you know, you have a good staff. You have staff that you've had for a very long time, I think, or most of them, or a good percentage.
Well,
so
we just got 3 new staffers this year.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because I had one have to leave for school, one have to leave because her job and baby, and then the other have to leave because she wasn't going to be able to come to con this year. And so I got 3 new staffers, and one who I've never worked with before. And so we actually did interviews for the staff position because I don't want to work with people that I've never met before. So I put out there that I was looking for people and made people fill out an application. And then I did Skype interviews with the people I thought were the best fit. And her name's Betsy. And I, like, from beginning to end, talking with her was so exciting. So I'm super excited to have she and Richard and Melissa as our new staffers this year.
Yay!
Now, are you still supposed to be calling them staffers?
Yeah, they're not. They're volunteers.
Volunteers.
I think of everyone else as volunteers, but I think that the people who work tracks are staff to me, like, in my head, because when people come to us to ask questions, I need to tell them, like, okay, go talk to my staffer. If you say go talk to my volunteer, it sounds weird to me. And so when someone asks me, I say volunteer staff.
Oh, wow. You're going even deeper there. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's how I roll.
Well, you are.
Mary is a very deep person.
Well, you are in Whedonverse, so you got to be wordy.
Right. Well, and you have to say the words exactly as I've written them. So, because that's Joss's way.
Oh, is that a big deal for? I didn't know that was a big deal. For
oh me. Yeah, no, you do not mince with his words. You say the words as they are written, and a lot of the times it's because it'll come up later the reason why he wrote it that way.
Yeah,
or you know, some such. You know, like he was not so much with, like, improving and such.
Hmm. Interesting.
Ah, good to know. Good to know. Now, are you also doing, I'm just curious because I have gotten into X-Files now has a comic, and you were telling me about the Buffy comic. Are you guys talking about the Buffy comic also?
Well, this year we're actually discussing the Serenity comics because they're coming out with a new one, and Georges Genti is coming back to Dragon Con this year, and he does the art for Serenity and also for Buffy seasons 8 and 9. And so he's going to come and talk about that with us. And so, which is really exciting because you get kind of, like a, you know, backstage view of Dark Horse and Dark Horse. Oh my God. Let me just tell you how in love with Dark Horse comics I am. Because I want to marry them, like marry them and have little comics babies, because I sent them an email like just, hey, you know, would it be possible for us to get some swag from you for this thing or whatever? They sent us the biggest box of comics and wristbands lanyards and buttons and just like, and like hardbound books of like, you know, like the coffee table sized books of Buffy season 8. And like, yeah, it's amazing. They are so stunningly nice and just like for nothing and a bunch of posters. So like Georges could sign them. And yeah, it's amazing. They are so lovely and generous.
That's really cool. Now, so am I correct that last year was your first year as a track director? Okay, how did it go last year? What was the end result there?
It was a learning experience. Like, it's not a whole lot different from being a second, just because the way that Bev and I, who's the young adult lit track director, the way that we worked together is that, you know, for the most part, she sort of let me run it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like, we would work together, but like I would be running it or she would be running it. And so, it was mostly just learning the paperwork and stuff that has to get done behind the scenes and the reports and things that have to be sent in and filling out whatever. But for the most part, like it was not a lot different from being the assistant. I will say though that, one of the perks of being the track director is being backstage and being able to meet like Jane Espenson, like just standing
my
there.
My girl crush. She is so my girl crush.
Standing back there, just meeting her. And like Eliza Dushku is such a lovely human being, like so kind and lovely. And she's so beautiful. It's like ridiculous and unfair. And so like, meeting her and getting to know that that's how she talks to everybody. And it's not just like, you know, like that's how she talks to her handlers. And that's how she talks to like anybody who's walking up. And she's just so kind. And everyone who came last year, like Miracle Lori was my favorite from last year. She was so freaking adorable and so excited to be there. And just, you know, that's one of the things about being a track director. Yes, we do an insane amount of work for like no pay. But like, you know, it was a soft little quiet moment of being able to just hang out with these people who've made some things that I really, really love and getting to tell like, Christine Sutherland that, you know, she broke my heart, you know, as Buffy's mom, and that, you know, I was so honored to meet her and have her tear up next to me as, you know, like, and so, it, you know, that's lucky, like that. I understand how incredibly lucky I am.
Oh, sorry. Somebody's did not mute that. Okay. Sorry. My bad.
It's all right, Mr. Popular.
Oh yeah. You know, you know,
like,
me.
What did I, I'm like, I'm off. Wait, no, what did I do? Oh, okay, like, I thought it was me. I just, Jane, I'm always thinking I've done it. Jane Espenson?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Love her.
I just wanted to like hug her and give her cookies.
And she is
my girl crush.
And
cookies
stories.
Is not a euphemism because I do want to give her. She has great stories and she is so funny and she's so nice and she, oh.
Well, and you get why she writes such good stuff because she, well, and
totally, and she's awesome.
And I found that, you know, like a lot of,
are we still here? I'm sorry.
A lot of people, like a lot of authors, that I've met, you know, sometimes have problems like with public speaking just because they write because they're not as comfortable with expressing themselves like verbally, vocally. And so, but she clearly doesn't have any problem whatsoever. And she just, I mean, like she, you can hear her humor, like in like the way that she writes and the way that her characters write and how she tells stories. And so, yeah, I was super excited when she was announced. So
it's Sweet. So you talked a little bit about you have the Avengers Ball and what was the other one again?
Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
Right.
And then also the Caritas Karaoke. Those are our three big events.
Now, where are they actually being held?
Dr. Horrible and the Avengers Ball are both going to be in the Peachtree Ballroom in the Westin, and Caritas Karaoke is going to be in our track room, which is the same track room it's always been in, but it is now called Chastain because they decided to rename all the rooms in the Westin for no good reason.
Why Chastain, of all things?
I don't know.
And what are the so what goes on actually at the Avengers Ball? What is requirements? Are you supposed to dress up? Oh,
well, Chastain is an area of Atlanta, so
All right.
It seems like they've done it a little bit weirdly that way.
I have no idea. I'm not responsible for the renaming of the Westin, so don't blame me. But yeah, no, I just was like, did they move us? Like, no, it's the same room. It's just named differently. The Avengers Ball, last year we did, the music started in the 40s with Captain America and worked its way through, you know, as like a time warp until it got into modern times. And people really, really seem to enjoy that. But I'm sort of mixing it up a little bit this year, just because my dance troupe has to go to bed. and our dance starts at 10 o'clock this year. So because it's so late, I kind of want to get them, you know, performed and out the door so that they don't have to stay up until 9 o'clock. But yeah, so basically, yeah, it's come as like, you know, in t-shirt and jeans if you want to, or as long as your like private bits are covered, I don't really care. But you know, so many people showed up in their Marvel wear. And so it was super exciting.
Oh, cool. So this year, is there anybody outside of your track that you're, hoping to go see, or that if you had the time, you'd love to go see?
I don't even look at them anymore. just because I know it's not going to happen.
Because I know I can't go. Yes.
Well, and that's, you know, it's like, oh, okay, sure. I would have to look at the DragonCon Facebook, but I just went in May to a Teen Wolf convention because I love Teen Wolf and I want them to come to DragonCon, but one day they will come to DragonCon and I will make time. I will make time to go to a Teen Wolf panel.
There's actually a convention just for Teen Wolf.
There's a couple of them.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a couple of them.
This is a show that's on MTV, right?
There are conventions for just certain shows all the time.
Yeah, and
wait,
it's not.
How did you not know there are cons just for very small? They're very small cons.
Well, I didn't think.
No, they're not actually.
I didn't think
smaller than Dragon Con.
Well, no, this one was actually
really.
Yeah, like MTV actually like helped them. Put the convention on too, because they wanted. They didn't want. They didn't want their people to go because you have to go to SDCC because of contractual obligations. Usually, you know, it's, you know, that's your media buzz and it's like right by LA and blah. But with the smaller cons, a lot of the times they don't want to go, and they wanted their people to be at something that was run by fans for fans, and so this one. They chose to go to this one. And so it was really neat because, like, you know, the showrunner was there, like Jeff Davis was there, who runs the show, who, by the way, also came up with Criminal Minds, which is bizarre. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was really neat. And, it was a fun convention and an interesting experience. Cause I love going to other people's conventions and seeing how they do things different from us. Because I feel like you learn different things to take back to how you run your own track in your own space.
Right.
Because, you know, they're going to make different choices because they're not used to the way that Dragon Con does it. And within the confines of the things that I can control for Dragon Con, you know, like I've obviously made decisions about, you know, how I allow people to take over my space. Like this year, we've got a bunch of podcasting folks running a panel for us because they wanted to talk about, you know, how Firefly fandom has survived after the show went off and after the movie was over by fan film and podcasting. Mm-hmm. And so I don't need to create that content. Like these people are experts in their field. So they can go for it. Like they know exactly what they want to talk about. And I just have everybody submit an outline to me so that I know that they have talking points. And other than that, I don't, you know, like this is great. This is content I don't have to come up with. And it's like rich, engaging content about, you know, like a subject matter that's really near and dear to a lot of people. So,
well, let me ask you. So we did mention that you, yes, last year was your first year as a track director. And is there anything, one thing that you would have changed from or that you're going to change from last year to this year that you didn't work as well as you thought it might have or maybe didn't go as well as you thought it did?
This is sort of an unpopular decision, but I split up Buffy Horror Picture Show and Dr. Horrible. So we are not running both of them this year.
Yeah, I actually saw there's only one comment on Google Plus because of course there's only like three people that are there.
Right.
And it actually even mentions the sing along. But anyway, go on.
Yeah. Last year and apparently several years, like for several years before that, they just have problems every year with getting everyone in and out because it fills up every single year. Like the entire Peachtree Ballroom completely fills up and they have to turn people away. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem being that not only does it fill up, but that convention or that hotel isn't really made for convention space. It's really made for like weddings and things because there's not really a whole lot of space for people to line up outside of the Peachtree Ballroom. Mm-hmm. And so we had fights outside in our lines about people being able to get in, and Atlanta PD had to be called.
Whoa.
Because blood was drawn.
Oh, really?
So I made the decision that I'm fine with people being angry at me if I can guarantee a little or hope for a little bit more personal safety.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do is we're going to do two showings of Dr. Horrible this year and then do two showings of Buffy Horror next year so that we can get as many people in as possible. And hopefully that will, you know, cut down on some of the, you know, security issues. And also Dragon Con has because they had so many complaints about lines in the Westin, they're working on that part from their end. Cause obviously I don't have any control over that part of it, but I do have control over my schedule. And so.
Yeah. Rachel actually mentioned when we were talking to her that the lines issue came up this year or last year. And that they're really working hard to try and figure out how to get, you know, the most effective lines and quickest way to get the lines in and out of the rooms. So,
right.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful space. Like that ballroom is really lovely. And so like, I'm fine with the space. I just wish the lining up was easier.
Now,
yes.
Are you guys still just across from Apocalypse?
I believe we are. I think none of those changed. We're like right next to Stargate and across from the Apocalypse one, which I feel sorry for all of us because that hallway clogs like crazy.
Yeah. So actually, can you give everyone a kind of an idea of where you're at? Because I know that Westin is it's sort of off the main three, that and the Sheridan. So sometimes people aren't used to going into there because they either don't have a room there or it's just off the main three. Where are you guys at?
So we are in the Westin on the like main floor. Basically you come up from the street and like you can either enter the Westin from like the lobby area or there's a main street entrance that goes to a bunch of the track rooms, and we're from the street entrance and we'd basically be on your left when you come in from that street entrance right next to the pub.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
So, which is convenient because you don't, well, no, because we don't eat a lot and they have really good burgers.
Yeah, that's what it is. Sure.
And so I'll send a staffer over there to just get me a burger and fries. And,
is that code for something else?
No, because if I meant beer, I'd just say beer. Because that's also a key for the weekend.
Well, no, and see, that's the issue as being a track director. You know when you need your protein, you know when you need your carbs, and then you know when you need your carbs in a foamy glass.
Yes, carbs in a foamy glass. I like that a lot, actually.
Liquid carbs in a foamy glass. There you go. There you go. That's when you need that. So, yeah, there you go. See, sometimes that's what you need. You know, you know. But as a track director, you learn that. Yeah.
Well, and also, you know, like being a track director, I don't drink on shift, and so I'm mostly concerned with making sure that I eat. So I don't have to, like, once I'm done with my shift, then I'm, you know, like I'm okay. I get some time to go off and do stuff.
So if you weren't track director, and and you had to choose only one thing to go to see at your on the Whedonverse track, what would it be this year?
The Avengers Ball. Honestly, I love that thing. First of all, I love people in costume dancing. I think it's fantastic. Plus, it's such a great energy. Like that one, it seemed like I've DJed for the Yule Ball and I DJed the Buffy Prom before when it was that. And this by far was my favorite last year. Like it was so much fun just to watch people be excited about the changes in music and the, you know, just how things laid out and whatever. And also I think that a lot of the dances tend to have one type of music, and we really strived to have basically every genre represented and like from every time period, you know, like as much as possible as you can with like the time that you're allotted. And so, it was just like really fun to have people be like, oh, dude, I remember this song. Like, and people who are 15 knowing the song, singing next to a person who is 60, you know, like where the song came out where that person who was 60 while they were in high school and like singing along next to a 15-year-old. And so it's, you know, it was just really fun to watch. Like the energy is just really great.
Cool. Okay. So now I'm going to ask you our last question. And this year I've been changing them up. So, and I'm not sure if I asked you this last year, but maybe I did. If you had to get rid of two Whedon verses, which two would they be?
You know that I don't have a whole lot of verses, but that's okay. And I think you did ask this last year because,
I remember your answer now. Go on.
Well, because I got rid of Dollhouse because it's my least favorite of the Joss verses.
Right.
Because
so you're not doing any Dollhouse this year?
We don't have any Dollhouse programming because we don't have any Dollhouse guests. And and we did a lot of Dollhouse programming last year. And so I try to change it up every year just so that, you know, we have different focus. But I have problems with consent issues with Dollhouse, and I
had issues with the show too. Yeah.
I think that there are some seriously talented people that were on that show, and I think that there were really awesome storylines that happened. It's just not my personal favorite. Mm-hmm. And then I would get rid. Actually, I think I changed my answer from last year. I think I would probably get rid of Angel because I hated the finale of Angel more than anything ever. Like, why? I literally, oh my God. Okay, so first of all, Faith should have come back to help Angel fight because Angel and Faith, like, and I don't mean this in like a shippy kind of way, but they had a connection like between the two of them. I felt like it was like almost familial. So I felt like there's no way if Faith knew the world was ending, she wouldn't have come back to try to help save Earth, you know, do whatever. And also, are you kidding me? Like, that's all we get? Like, whatever. And so it was over, and I literally threw the remote control across the room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was really angry.
Oh, I promise your rage cannot go with my rage from X-Files at the end. So,
oh, I'm sure. Well, and that one was on forever.
Right.
So
X-Files, you're probably...
Ninth season.
I think you were throwing it at the all through the ninth season. But anyway,
I think I said Firefly last year because of drama. But Or no, I said Firefly last year because then we wouldn't have known what we lost because
right,
it was over
exactly.
too soon. Yeah. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with Angel this year. I think I changed my answer.
That is perfectly, you're right, obviously.
Somebody must have rewatched the finale recently and got mad again.
I have been watching Buffy and Angel a lot lately. And so, because I have to do a lot of really boring coding work lately. And so, I can watch that or listen to it and not really pay attention to it. So,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
That's how I can put the Avengers on. Avengers is when it's my feel-good movie. It is also my I'm really sick movie because then I can put it on and I'm sick and I'm falling asleep. And then I wake up and I'll be like, oh, okay, I can just start it over. I like all parts of it. And yeah. I just restart it over and I get really happy.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. There isn't, going back to the Avengers real quick, they're really... I don't know why we're doing a review of obviously the one of the best action movies ever made, but
ever made.
There really isn't a dull part of that movie.
Nope.
Even the soft, slower parts
right.
are soft and slow for a reason, you know, mm-hmm. like
and
it's not a lull. It's, you know, it's the calm before the storm. Yeah,
it's your time to take a breath type thing.
Yeah. Well, the timing on that, I mean, that movie to me, and actually Captain America to me even had a lot of that as well, which is just the timing was just it's perfect timing and it just snaps along. And even when you have the lulls, there's enough there to keep your attention.
Yeah.
You know, I watched you sleeping. I mean, there's just enough to go, wait, did he say
what? Like, oh my God, seriously, Clark Gregg, it's such a joy.
Oh my God. His bitch face is the best bitch face. We can just squee about this for just a minute because I know we have another one, John. Hush. His bitch face is the most awesome bitch face in the world. And his I'm kind of freaked out face is an awesome face. And he's just, oh my God. And he has freckles on his arms.
Did you see somebody did a fan art of him where it's Agent Coulson doing the lift from the end of Dirty Dancing because his wife is Jennifer Grey. And so somebody did the big giant lift that's at the end and the finale of that movie. And I almost peed my pants laughing.
I would probably be giggling a lot. No, I mean, I can just that. And his deadpan between him and Fury, you got it. Totally. I'm just like, oh my God, I love you so much. I don't know Mr. Gregg, but Coulson, yeah, Cookies would totally be a euphemism for Coulson.
Wait, oh, back this up a second, because I didn't know this. Gregg is married to Jennifer Grey?
Uh-huh. Yes. Dude, yeah. Really?
When did that happen?
They've been married for a while. Joel Grey is his father-in-law, yes.
Huh. Huh.
You're welcome.
I just, again, teaching me something new every podcast.
Your little tidbit. Yeah.
Did you get the Agent Coulson Funko? The Funko Pop, the pop thing with the big head thing, the little toy?
No, I don't have it.
I has two of them.
Of course you do.
And one is going to be mint in box, and one is maybe being played with.
Oh boy! Okay, this is a family podcast, so moving on.
Sitting beside my desk and out of box. That's all I mean by being played with.
Uh-huh,
sure. This is a family show, Lee.
I'm being family, and I'll just say it this way, Cookies is a euphemism.
What? Oh, jeez.
All right.
But now we're done. I'm serious. Dude, come on. It was awesome. Totally. I'm sorry. I can squeal a lot, John. John, I was being good.
Sure you were.
It's all Mary's fault.
Uh-huh. Let's blame me.
I'll blame you. I got to do another podcast with him, man. Let me blame you.
All right, Mary. Oh, go ahead.
Remind everybody again, what's your Facebook and what's your Twitter?
We are at, hold on, I should probably look that up, right?
Just make it up. No.
We're the Winged Universe track at DragonCon on Facebook, which, you know, helpful and fairly descriptive. And then we have our website at wedenverse.dragoncon.org. And so you can basically find out anything about us there. And I've tried to keep basically all of our information on the website. So anything about our schedule, as much as that's going to change or whatever. And since we just got a new guest because of my lovely darling, Emma Caulfield, our our schedule is still the same, but we will have additional, you know, have her on some panels. So, but then you can also follow us on Twitter at Whedon Universe.
Sweet. Wow, you got Whedon Universe, really?
Yeah, we did.
Wow.
Thank Wayne Hutchinson for that one, because I think he's the one who grabbed it.
Yeah, that's that's thinking ahead right there. Yeah. All right, so cool. So, Mary, thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Of course, everyone go check out the great programming over at Whedonverse. And don't forget to visit the Westin, too, because
there's some awesome programming over there. So,
yeah, it's off the main three, but, you know, the Westin and the Sheraton don't bite.
It's like a block. And plus, like, if you are in the Hyatt, you don't even have to go down that big hill like you do with the Sheraton. And so, like, just walk down the block, you know, go past the Hard Rock.
It's right there. And see, actually, from that hotel, if you're going anywhere else, it's downhill. So you start there, and then the rest of your day is downhill.
Is that metaphysical, or is that, like, I mean... Never
mind. It's not a euphemism.
Okay. All right, Mary. Thank you very much for joining us. And as I tell all the directors, you guys are doing a great job. Love the show year to year. And keep up the great work, I guess. So until next time, for Mary and Lee, this is John saying Firefly rules.
It does. It does indeed.
Cookies.
Oh, geez.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.